We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Back in on the drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll take a trip around the NFL. As you just heard, the reports from The Athletic are that the two teams that are down to the finalists for the services of Le'Veon Bell are the Kansas City Chiefs and the Miami Dolphins. There was a report earlier today that Buffalo was in the mix. That was from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. It would appear of The Athletic that is no longer the case. It is between Kansas City and Miami. This is one of those age-old, which ones do you value more? Do you value the ring or do you value the money? I got no problem with somebody who says, I want to work at the place that pays me the most amount of money. If that's the stance that Le'Veon Bell takes, cool. I completely understand it. But it's hard for me to think that there's a better football fit. It's hard for me to think that there is a better football environment for you to play in than Kansas City. And if you're Le'Veon and you've already gotten paid, we're not talking about a guy who was a fifth round draft pick who's waiting on getting that second contract that, yeah, maybe you're going to sign to the highest bidder. The Jets owe you $5.5 million that you're going to get regardless of what happens the rest of the season. Like, why would you not want to put yourself in a position to play in big games? It's been 3 years since you've played in a game that meant anything. I would sign with Kansas City, especially because at this point, money shouldn't be a factor, but I can't tell anybody where to put their priorities.
Well, to me, CDOT, this is the big fish in a small pond type argument, or would you rather be the small fish in the sea? You know, like, when you're Le'Veon Bell, and if you want to come to Kansas City, you're right. You can play on a bigger stage. You're going to be in playoff games. You might be in the Super Bowl, but you might also only get 6-8 touches a game. If you go to Miami, there's a good chance you don't play in the playoffs, but you might become the feature back right away and touch the ball 15 to 20 times a game. And for a guy that you pointed out yesterday, he's not 38 years old. He's 28 years old, so he could get another contract after this one. So you said that it's either about money or the ring. I actually think it's more about opportunity, and you get a better opportunity, not to win, but to show your skill set if you're a Dolphin than a Chief.
No, you're certainly right. And when you look at the depth chart for the Miami Dolphins, their three running backs are Myles Gaskin, who was a seventh-round draft pick, Matt Breida, who played for the San Francisco 49ers, and Lynn Bowden Jr., who played quarterback at the University of Kentucky a couple of years ago. So there's no denying that you're going to get the opportunities. But to me, is it better to get 12 carries with the Dolphins or get 7 carries with the Kansas City Chiefs and be that kind of do-everything Swiss Army knife player that I think he can sort of turn into? I don't think Le'Veon Bell is a number one running back in the NFL. I could be wrong. Maybe it was 100% on the Jets, and now you go to a situation where they give you the same uses that you had in Pittsburgh. You sort of bounce back. But more time has passed, you're older, more wear and tear on your body. I don't think he's that kind of guy. You got a chance to go into a situation that is perfect for your skill set. If there is an offense that is built for what Le'Veon Bell does well, and an offensive coordinator and a head coach that can get the most out of your ability, I'm willing to bet on Andy Reid. To me, this would be a no-brainer type situation. If you want to live in Miami, do that in the offseason. I would value trying to give myself a ring, and I would just value trying to matter. Le'Veon Bell hasn't mattered in a long time. Maybe he goes to Miami this year. Maybe he bounces back. But man, is it really going to matter if you're on a team that's 4-10 and going absolutely nowhere? Are people going to pay attention to that? Or could you have a situation in some of the bigger games that the Chiefs have down the stretch to have 7 carries for 45 yards, have a big catch in the pass game that can potentially win a football game? Like, that stuff would entice me to want to sign with the Chiefs.
And then you can say, see, I got the ring, and especially if you actually help them win the ring, that's obviously more important than playing on a Miami Dolphins team that's probably going to go 7-9 or something like that. Like you said, he is from Miami. So I think that right now it's probably 50-50. Like I, from his perspective, this is a very difficult decision because you got to weigh, do I want a chance to win a ring versus do I want an opportunity? Because it's not just about this year. Like, I guess we're just assuming that the money and the years are going to be the same in both Miami and Kansas City, that he's going to get the minimum contract for the rest of the year and then become an unrestricted free agent. Maybe Miami says, you know what, we'll sign you up for a couple of years, and the Chiefs say we're just going to use you as a rental player. So I don't know the exact parameters, but right now it appears to be pretty 50-50.
Yeah, 913-576-7610. What if Miami offers a three-year contract, kind of going to what you're saying? Yeah. He could get paid and maybe win in a few years. If that's what Miami is doing, they're just stupid. And I even think that Le'Veon Bell has something left in the tank, more than you think he has left in the tank. But if you're willing to see what's happened with Le'Veon Bell over the last three seasons, and now you're willing to double down and put more money on top of and give him an extra 2 or 3 years and more guarantees, I would just call you foolish.
Well, three,
if that's a scenario.
Three is foolish, but if you said we're going to take you for the rest of this year and then we'll sign you up for all of next season, you know, I bet Wishes did that, the New England Patriots. So you can do it the wrong way also and say we're just going to rent him. What if he's really good? Like, what if you got him and he turns out to be really good and you could have paid him pennies on the dollar? So the Chiefs aren't going to do that. Like, the Chiefs, I guarantee you.
I would have no interest in doing that if I was any good team. Like, I would imagine that's probably the difference between where Kansas City is. Like, from everybody that I talked to yesterday, everybody says that Reed loves Le'Veon Bell, that he really liked him. You remember there were some rumors whenever he was a free agent that the Chiefs really liked him.
I would also not say Miami's a good team, though, just for the record. Like, I agree with you. If I was a good team, I wouldn't do that. I don't think Miami's that good of a team.
Yeah, but I'm saying is if you're Le'Veon Bell, and you know Kansas City and that offense really likes you. Mm-hmm. You know that head coach really likes you. You know they're going to play in big games. That would just be the deciding factor. You're right. Maybe the money is different. Maybe Kansas City's offering you a one-year, $1 million deal, and Miami's having a two-year, $10 million deal. Or if it's that big of a difference, maybe you got to have a little bit of a conversation here. But if Miami is stupid enough, like we saw one team that, let's call the Jets stupid because they have given us no reason to believe that they're smart. They were stupid enough to sign a running back to a bad deal. If he, after that experience, is willing to find another sucker, you're stupid for not taking the Dolphins' money in that scenario. But if the Dolphins are offering you a one-year, $3 million deal, man, you're telling me the difference is $2 million and you got a chance to win a Super Bowl ring? You got a chance to be a part of this offense and be a part of something special? Or you got a chance to just wither away like most old people do in Florida? Which one would you rather have here? This just seems like a no-brainer. And I will say this. I never want to hear Le'Veon Bell tell me that winning is important if he signs with the Dolphins. If he signs with the Dolphins, cool. I hope you have a great career. I hope you stay healthy. I don't wish anything bad. But I don't want you in that Zoom press conference to tell us, hey, you know what, man? It really came down to the system and the fit, and they got a chance to win here. The Dolphins ain't had a chance to win since they kidnapped Snowflake. That's a bad team that's going absolutely nowhere. I don't want to hear him tell us if he signs with the Dolphins that winning is important to him. It wasn't important to you when you signed with the Jets because we know they ain't got no chance of winning. And it certainly ain't important if you sign with the Dolphins.
Man, the Jets really are stupid. STOOPID and capitalize the D at the end if you have to. They gave him a four-year, $52.5 million contract, and that was a year and a half ago. And now we're talking about him playing for the rest of the season on the league minimum. Like, I'm not saying that Le'Veon Bell is completely washed up. Like, there might be just a little bit of gas left in the tank, but I don't know what the Jets thought a year and a half ago to give him 4 years, $52.5 million. That's insanity.
913-576-7610. No, we don't want Bell's attitude or personality in that locker room. It will be bad. Are there a lot of people that have this opinion? Like, I think it's silly, to be completely honest with you about it. I have no reason to believe that Le'Veon Bell is going to come in here and completely destroy the Chiefs locker room. I don't think that's what happened at Pittsburgh. I think it was a financial dispute between him and upper management that just went left. I don't think that he and the coach really got along. That's not really going to be the issue here. And this is one of those low risk, high reward potential type moves. If it doesn't work out with Le'Veon Bell and you notice something that's happened in the locker room and it's messed up the chemistry of it, then you get Le'Veon Bell off the team and it's no harm and no foul here. Like, I think people are overselling what happened with the Jets here. I don't have any worry about Le'Veon Bell's personality being in the locker room.
I don't either, but I think that it's the last two stops that he was at and the way that it ended with the Steelers and the way that it ended with the Jets was ugly in both times. So people say, do we need that guy?
Like, I don't really think it was ugly with the Steelers as much as I think he wanted X. I don't think the Steelers were willing to pay X.
Well, he certainly sent the Steelers
back. Play.
I mean, that hurt the Steelers, like, at least for that season, sitting out the entire year. Because almost every time a guy threatens to sit out, what do they do? they come back and they get a little bit of the money. It happens almost every single time. It didn't happen there, and really, that set back his career, but certainly it set back the franchise also. So if it was just one thing, then you can say, yeah, whatever, this would happen in Pittsburgh. But you tack on what also happened with the Jets. Look, if this was a linebacker, an offensive lineman, a cornerback version of Le'Veon Bell, where he might have a little bit of gas left in the tank, he might cause you a little bit of trouble, I'd say, I don't care. Sign him up because we need that guy. At running back, you put all that stuff together. I don't think they need that guy.
So The Athletic is reporting that Le'Veon Bell is down to two teams, the Dolphins or the Chiefs. This is one of those age old. Are you going to choose the ability to go win a ring, or are you going to take the team that's offering the most money? We'll find out. I expect Le'Veon Bell signs by the end of the day with somebody. We'll see if it's here in Kansas City. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll head to Buffalo and be joined by Eric Wood, who played for the Buffalo Bills and now covers the Buffalo Bills. But coming up next, we'll take a trip around the NFL. Stick around. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. You can always interact with the show at 913-576-7610. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll give you a chance to be registered for an Alex Gordon autographed bat. We'll also give you a chance to win $250 through the Royals team store. All you need to do is keep it locked in right here on 610 Sports Radio. We'll also be joined by Eric Wood, former Bills center. If you missed the news at the top of the hour, we talked about it. The Athletic is reporting that Le'Veon Bell has narrowed down his choices to two teams. One team is the Kansas City Chiefs. The other team is the Miami Dolphins. We'll keep you updated with any change in the story, but that is where we currently sit. Le'Veon Bell is deciding between the Chiefs and the Miami Dolphins. Eric Wood coming up at the bottom of the hour, but before we do that, let's take a trip around the NFL, brought to you by Olathe Ford Lincoln.
We begin around the NFL with this. At the end of the Bengals and Ravens game last Sunday, Zach Taylor elected to kick a field goal to avoid being shut out by the Ravens defense. This has Ravens DC Wink Martindale miffed. He is angry that he lost the shutout. Is it fair or foul for Martindale to have beef with losing a shutout 27-3?
Why are the coordinators talking about last week's game and potentially not having a shutout now during the week? Why can't the Ravens just move on? I like the Baltimore Ravens. I think they're one of the five best teams in the NFL. But I swear to you, the Ravens complain more than any other team in the NFL, and they just seem to be worried about the wrong things.
Well, you know who they got coming up, right? The Eagles. I don't think they're worried about their next opponents. That's what they're talking about, their last opponent. This is just so Wink Martindale of him not just to let it go. But yeah, as a guy that played on the B team at Harmony Middle School in eighth grade one time and came off the field and they brought the backups in and they gave up a touchdown, when you want the shutout, it's frustrating. So yeah, I'm with Wink on this one.
Speaking of the AFC North, AJ Green told reporters that despite being frustrated with his play that has been not great this year, he wants to stay in Cincinnati. You guys buying this?
The young kids call this cap, is what they call what AJ Green is doing right now. You can see him mouthing on the sideline, why don't they just trade me? AJ Green, why don't you go somewhere where old receivers go to die? The New England Patriots, what are you doing here? You're going nowhere fast in Cincinnati. You gave Cincinnati the best years of their life, and what did they give you? Andy Dalton is what they gave you. Why don't you go play with Cam Newton and give yourself a chance to play in a meaningful football game here? You don't want to be in Cincinnati. Now, maybe privately you're doing this. I understand publicly you don't want to ask for a trade, but AJ Green, I'm here to tell you that your time in Cincinnati has come to a close. Hell, it came to a close 2 years ago. You just didn't know it.
I think his time in the NFL might have came to a close. Like this year, he's got 14 catches for 120 yards and no touchdowns. And last year, he wasn't great either. And even the year before. So yeah, he's not the guy that, for a while there, it was Julio Jones and it was A.J. Green, and those guys were catching 1,300 yards a season and 10 touchdowns. The difference was Atlanta was good. Cincinnati was not. They still are not. If this is your chance out, if you can get the get-out-of-jail-free card out of Cincinnati, even though it would have been nice to have happened, you know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, dude's been there since 2011. So he's gave a decade of his life and every NFL game that he's ever played to the Cincinnati Bengals. Dude, if you got a chance to get out, get the hell out.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that would maybe scare me the most about AJ Green is the money. So AJ Green actually got franchise tag this year. So he is making $18 million to be really bad. So
wow.
I don't think I would, well, I don't think, what I know I would not trade for the contract of AJ Green. But if AJ Green got cut and I was a wide receiver needy team, I'd inquire. I'd be interested in it. Like, I'd gamble that, hey, in a new situation, maybe a new change of scenery here on a veteran deal, I'll roll the dice on AJ Green. Like, these are the kind of moves that the Patriots have done for 10 years. They roll the dice if a guy has something. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. But I'd be willing to roll the dice on AJ Green.
Speaking of the Patriots, a former Patriot, Jimmy Garoppolo, is dealing with a high ankle sprain. As you guys know, he was benched at halftime in their loss to the Dolphins. And as of right now, both Jimmy G and C.J. Beathard, their backup, could play on Sunday. The Niners are in last place this year. Sunday is Sunday, their last chance to be considered a playoff contender in 2020 with their poor start and their injury issues.
I mean, their last chance to be considered a playoff contender was probably in week two of the NFL season when basically everybody on the team got hurt. I think San Francisco is a well-coached team. I just don't think that they're a healthy team. And the NFL is about schedule. It is about talent. It's also a game of attrition and who do you have healthy. And you just don't have a whole lot of bodies right now if you're the San Francisco 49ers and you're in a division where you're going to need those bodies. This is a 6-10 season for San Francisco, and it's through no fault of the coaching. They just don't have the available guys.
Aren't they 2-3? Am I missing something? Like, they're a game below 500, and yeah, they lost to the Dolphins, who aren't that good.
I mean, they had two games against the Giants and the Jets. I mean, that's what's really holding this team up right now.
Yeah, they're injured, and I got to tell you, I'm not that surprised. Now, it's because of the injuries why they're playing this bad, but I remember saying about the Super Bowl hangover, because we were asked a lot here in Kansas City, it's never been with the winning team. It was never with the Patriots or the Colts or anything. It was with the losing team. And I'm not surprised that San Francisco struggled early, and the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo is not the most overrated quarterback in the NFL, but he might be the most overrated combined with overpaid. 48 touchdowns, 21 interceptions. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but with an expanded postseason where basically half the league's going to make it, they're far from dead.
Well, the NFC East is horrible. Like, just awful. The leader of that division is currently under 500. It's the Philadelphia Eagles. Many people, including myself, picked the Dallas Cowboys to win that division. Considering the horrific nature this division is in, can the Red Rifle and the Cowboys still win the NFC East?
Did you just ask me, could Andy Dalton win a division in 2020? What year is this? No, the answer is no. You know who's going to rise up in that division? It's not going to be the football team. It's not going to be the Giants. You know who it's going to be? Fly, Eagles, fly. That's who's coming out of the NFC East.
Yeah, think about this.
He really asked, could Andy Dalton win a division in 2020?
And it was
a real question.
Yeah, it was a fair question.
No, it's not a fair question at all, because Andy Dalton stinks.
Carson Wentz is now not even the best redheaded quarterback in his own division anymore. That is Andy Dalton. Carson Wentz stinks. Like, at least with Andy Dalton, the last time we saw him, he was average. This entire year, Carson Wentz has been flat out bad. What does he have? 4 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, not running for any yards. Like, honestly, I do think that Andy Dalton and the Cowboys are going to end up winning this division. Probably be 7-9 or something like that, but probably going to be enough to win that division.
Last question. The COVID-riddled Patriots and Broncos are finally going to play their game this Sunday at noon. Both teams are getting QB1 back. It looks like Cam Newton is back, and yesterday, Drew Lock was a full participant in practice, so we believe he could be back. Carrington, if the Broncos can go to New England and win, are they suddenly a playoff contender?
I do think they're back in the playoff contender, because I'm not 100% sold on Vegas. Like, I can see Vegas, you get that really impressive win in Kansas City, you start feeling yourself, you start reading the press clippings, and then you're back to being the Las Vegas Raiders. Like, I don't think they're really going to run away and be a double-digit win team. I think they're a 9-7, 8-8 team. Ultimately, I don't think the Broncos have enough. I don't think they're going to beat the New England Patriots. But if they win this, it is interesting. I'm maybe higher on New England than a lot of other people. I think the defense is certainly more than capable. And with Cam Newton, they're one of the three best rushing teams in the NFL. And with the way Cam was playing before he got COVID, they got a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. I think New England is a playoff team. I think Denver's probably a 6-7 win team at the absolute most.
Yeah, I think the Broncos are going to get destroyed. They're like a 9 or a 10-point underdog. That'll move them to 1-4, which means they're going to be in the same family with the Cincinnati Bengals, Rob, your Los Angeles Chargers, and the aforementioned New York Jets, where they're going to have a top 5 to 10 pick in the draft. So did you ask me if they're going to be a playoff team or have a top 10 pick in next year's draft? Because No, and even if they somehow win this game, which I don't think they're going to, Denver's roster is way too beat up, even with a healthy Drew Locke, to even think about them being a postseason team.
Yeah, looking at the Broncos' schedule, I don't see it this year with the amount of injuries that they have. Like, I think in the NFC, the team that's been most affected by the injuries has been San Francisco. I would say in the AFC, it's probably Denver or Los Angeles. Like, I just don't think those teams just have enough bodies. Like, I think the Raiders are better than both of those teams right now. That I think you got to give them the nod as being the second best team in the AFC West. And you got to give them the nod if we're talking about a wild card team coming out of the AFC West. You know, I was really high on Denver at the beginning of the season, but their only win so far this year is against the New York Jets. I know they're getting guys back, but I mean, their next two games are against the Patriots and the Chiefs. They ain't winning either one of those games. They're going to be 1-5.
I bet by season's end, the Chiefs are the only team in this division that's over 500. Like, if you tell me the Raiders finish 8-8, I can go with that. Right now, I agree with you. The Broncos are a 6-win team. The Chargers are a 6-win football team. And the Chiefs, I still think, probably end up winning 12 or 13. Like, it's not a great division. It's very top heavy.
So during the break, you'll hear Denny Matthews be caller number 4 to 913-576-7610. And caller number 4 will be registered to win an Alex Gordon autograph bat, also $250 from the Royals team store. We all got gift cards ourselves. Rob got a his and hers jersey set for he and his invisible girlfriend. So he's really happy with it. You got a sweater for your dog. I'm saving mine for Christmas. So everybody here is getting Royals apparel. You can get Royals apparel. All you need to do is stick around through the break. And we'll also be joined by Eric Wood, former Bills center, currently covers the team, to talk some Chiefs and Bills on Monday afternoon football. Doesn't have that same ring to it. Stick around. It's a drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll get to this week's Survivor Picks. We'll also get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City and in sports. If you missed it, The Athletic is reporting that Le'Veon Bell has his decision down to Kansas City and Miami. We'll talk about that coming up at the top of the hour. But right now, let's head to the phone lines to be joined by a former Pro Bowler. He played for the Buffalo Bills. He is now the color commentator for the Buffalo Bills. Also does some work with the ACC Network. Eric Wood joins us today on the show. Eric, appreciate your time.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
No, we appreciate it. Let's start here. What happened to Buffalo on Tuesday against Tennessee?
They just made some crucial mistakes, especially early in the game, that they could not recover from. Teams do not win in the NFL with a -3 turnover margin, and that they had on Tuesday night, and they also gave up a long punt return. So their defense was in a bind for most of the night. They gave up 4 touchdowns on really short fields to the Titans. And they also made a lot of pre-snap penalties. And Sean McDermott wasn't trying to make any excuses after the game. But from the outside looking in, I believe something with the schedule change and whether they were going to play the Chiefs on Thursday or if the Titans would pass their tests and get negative results and be able to play, I think a lot of that, for some reason, got them a little out of focus because it was uncharacteristic from what we've seen from the Bills through 5 weeks this year.
Speaking of uncharacteristic, it was certainly uncharacteristic for Josh Allen. What was wrong with him in that game? Because I think he's one of the more polarizing players in the NFL where he certainly turned things around, but I think sort of his flaws from the first two seasons still really stick out with a lot of people, and he kind of confirmed a lot of those to me on Tuesday against Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, he throws 2 interceptions. The first one went in and out of Andre Roberts' hand. So, you know, really, he's only had truly 1 interception on the year. I don't know if you saw the other interception that they gave the Rams credit for. It was an obvious catch by the tight end. And regardless, I hopefully I don't sound like too much of a homer. I think that was pretty well accepted that that first one was not an interception. But anyways, you know, I think Josh has made great progression through his 3 years in Buffalo. He came from Wyoming. There was going to be some learning period hopping into the NFL, and he struggled a little bit. His first year, his second year, he progresses, goes over 60% passing last year. And through 4 games this year, I'm not sure exactly where he sits right now, he was over 70% passing on the year, second in the NFL through 4 weeks in passing yards. And what they've done at the receiver position for him this year, especially adding Stephon Diggs, adding Gabriel Davis in the draft, and then they still have Cole Beasley and John Brown. He's got a ton of weapons on the outside, and to the point where the Bills offense coordinator, Brian Daboll, who in his first 2 years in Buffalo was primarily a run-based offense, Now they're almost exclusively 10 or 11 personnel with four wide receivers on the field or three wide receivers on the field.
Eric, here's the real test to find out if you're actually a Buffalo homer or not. Who's got the bigger arm, Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes?
Well, let's see it. You know, I want to see him. I want to see him throw for it. I will say this. You know, if Josh Allen can progress and be somewhere near the player of Patrick Mahomes, I think everybody would be satisfied with that. Patrick Mahomes is just a phenomenal talent. He's so easy to root for. He's so polished on and off the field. What an ambassador you guys have for the city in Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes.
Earlier today, there were three teams in the Le'Veon Bell running, and the Chiefs and Buffalo were two of them. If the reports are correct, it seems like Buffalo is out of the running. Could they have actually used Le'Veon Bell, or would that have just kind of been a nice added piece?
Yeah, it would have been an added piece. Devin Singletary last year was second in the NFL in yards per carry. They like Devin Singletary a lot at running back. Zach Moss, who they drafted from Utah, the running back, he has been injured ever since the first game. He got a toe injury. So it's uncertain when exactly he'll be back. But T.J. Yeldon, who came from Alabama, spent some time in Jacksonville, he's been productive for the Bills as well. But Le'Veon Bell is a special talent. He's a phenomenal receiver out of the backfield. He's great running the ball. He can pass protect. Anytime you can add someone like that to your team, I think you do it if it makes sense, if his personality fits and everything else with the organization. I'm not sure from what end the interest was dropped, if it was from the Bills or Le'Veon's. I'm assuming we'll probably never find that out. Both sides will probably say it was them. But it'll be interesting to see where he lands. And if he does go to the Chiefs, wow, what an offense full of weapons and firepower Andy Reid will have to play with, and Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator, obviously.
Right now we're talking to former Bills center Eric Wood. He made the Pro Bowl back in 2015. He also is the color commentator for the Buffalo Bills. So, Eric, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds like you still think Le'Veon has something left in the tank.
It appears so, and it's tough to judge what he did the last couple of years in New York. The offensive line has been bad for the Jets. Adam Gase's offense has been anything but creative in putting him in positions to succeed. So I would like to see what he still got left. I would imagine he still does have some left in the tank. And who better to bring that out than Andy Reid? And then if he does go down to Miami, that gives them another weapon as well. And when you look at what the Dolphins have done this year, a couple pretty good victories for them against Jacksonville, and then they beat the Seahawks over the weekend. Ryan Fitzpatrick, one of my favorite teammates of all time. It's easy to root for him. It stinks he's in the division again, considering this is his third team that he's played for in the division. But, you know, that'll give Fitzy another weapon down there as well. When you look at the outside, they have former first-round pick Devontae Parker. They have Preston Williams on the outside. Giuseppe, their tight end, has been productive. He'd be an asset for them as well.
Eric, do you think Buffalo's cool with trying to go toe-to-toe on the scoreboard and trying to get into a shootout with the Chiefs?
You know, right now, I don't think anybody wants to do that, but I think that's kind of how the game is going to shape up at this point. Buffalo's defense has been hit with the injury bug. Matt Milano out. Two starting cornerbacks were out for the last game. Matt Milano is their best cover linebacker. He's been tremendous. He would have been very valuable for the Buffalo Bills if he could play this week in guarding Travis Kelce, who's a phenomenal tight end. So it's starting to look like that's the way it'll be. It'll be interesting how both defenses attack the other, because I think the Raiders and their victory against the Chiefs, as well as the Titans against the Bills the other night, they both used a lot of two-shell defense, kept the safeties high, nothing big over the top, make them earn every inch down the field. And both offenses, not that they had poor days. The Buffalo Bills, obviously, worse than the Chiefs. The Chiefs still put up 32 points. But that slowed them down a bit. And it'll be interesting to see if both of those schemes are used this next week.
I'm asking myself this with the Chiefs, so I'll ask it to you with the Bills. Do you think they need this win on Monday afternoon more for the psyche or more for the standings?
You know, I'd say both. I mean, when you look at it, if the Bills can regain what they had going through the first 4 weeks of the season, this could be a game that decides some home field advantage in the playoffs. It could be a game that decides on a bye you know, this is pretty big for the standings. And then two teams coming off a loss, no, both teams will be hungry to get a victory this week. It should be a really hard-fought game between two of the better teams in the AFC.
That's where I am, Eric. I think it's going to be really difficult for Buffalo to get that one seed if they don't lose. You already lose the tiebreaker to the Titans. You will have lost it to Kansas City. Let's say that they split against New England, so there's no tiebreaker advantage there. I would say for Buffalo, it's really tough to envision them getting that one seed if they lose on Monday.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And, you know, that's so far down the line. I don't think either coaching staff will be preaching that to the players. Maybe some of the players will be cognizant of that, but there's a lot of people in the front office and there's a lot of people around football that'll be watching Monday afternoon, Monday evening, whatever you want to call it. I guess in Kansas City it is afternoon for the game. I'm East Coast time, but it'll be a great matchup. And I love all the storylines that go along with Andy Reid, who I got to play for in the Pro Bowl and just had an incredible experience with him and his staff. And then when you look at Sean McDermott and what he's been able to do in Buffalo, who at one point he starts his coaching career, I'll call it coaching, but he starts his NFL career, I'll say, getting coffee for Andy Reid in Philadelphia. And now you hear John Gruden, as he's preparing for the Bills last week, say that Sean McDermott's one of the top three coaches in the NFL by his standings.
We have this conversation a lot in Kansas City about the rest of the AFC and sort of how it shakes out. Where would you have Buffalo? Because I think most people have Kansas City sitting number one, but the way they beat Baltimore maybe has people kind of shaken off of them being the number two team. Do you have Buffalo as maybe being the second best team in the AFC?
Yeah, I think Kansas City, you know, based upon coming off the Super Bowl and what they've done to start the year minus the Raiders game, probably sitting at that one spot. The AFC North is interesting when you consider the Ravens and the Steelers in that division. And then as far as the AFC East, I think you put the Bills up there. And, you know, from there, I don't know that anyone in the AFC South sticks out. So I think there's a second tier or however you want to put it. There's a notch below probably Kansas City right now just based upon how they handled the Ravens, the Steelers, and the Bills sitting right there.
That is Eric Wood, former NFL center, made the Pro Bowl back in 2015, and he is currently the color commentator for the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Eric, appreciate the time and you joining us today. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's Eric Wood joining us today on the show. He also does some work for the ACC Network.
I agree with what he said there at the end about the tiers. The only team that I would tack on, I guess, is Tennessee after the first five games or whatever, four games that they've played. They look pretty good also. But you want to talk about that next tier, I'm with them. It's Kansas City, and then it's Baltimore, it's Buffalo. And like I said, I'll put Tennessee and Pittsburgh in the next tier.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would have Tennessee in that tier too. I would say right now, really the only question in the AFC is Kansas City on a tier by themselves, or are they in that same group with everybody else? If they lose on Monday, they are in the same group as everybody else.
Firmly.
I know they won the Super Bowl, but you can't tell me that they're far and away better than everybody else in the AFC. If there's teams that are still undefeated in the AFC and you lost to the Buffalo Bills and the Las Vegas Raiders, I'm not saying you can't still win the Super Bowl, but we can't still have this conversation that the Chiefs sit alone and they're looking down on all these other peons in the AFC. I think they're going to win this game, but I think that's really the only question in the AFC. Is Kansas City in tier one and all of those other teams that you mentioned, are they in tier two, or is it tier one is just five teams?
Well, more important than the tiers, because that doesn't really matter. That's just fun to talk about on sports radio shows. It's what you asked him about Buffalo eliminating themselves as the one seed. And he's right. They probably don't talk about that in Buffalo, but we can talk about that here in Kansas City. Super Bowl or bust, coming off a championship. And if the Chiefs can beat Buffalo and they've already beat Baltimore, I think it's going to come down to the end of the year. The Chiefs will be 13-3, 12-4, something like that. So will Baltimore. So will Buffalo. So will Pittsburgh. So it's going to come down to those head-to-head matchups. And if you can beat Buffalo on Monday afternoon and you got that game in hand versus Buffalo and Baltimore, as a Chiefs fan, I'm feeling pretty good about that one seed.
Yeah, and it got me thinking. So Therese said this yesterday when he was on with us, and it goes in line with what you were saying. Tell me that this team that Therese is describing doesn't sound exactly like the Kansas City Chiefs in 2018.
You know, Buffalo's going to come in here looking to make a statement, because if they beat Kansas City, you know, all of a sudden, you know, and they win tonight, obviously, you know, all of a sudden they're still undefeated. And now we're talking about, hey, you know, is Buffalo the team to beat in the AFC? Now, I'm not going to be saying that, but you're going to see it on those shows. Like, people are going to be saying, hey, you know, the Bills, you know, and I do think if the Bills do beat the Chiefs, you know, they're probably going to have a chance at home field advantage, and, you know, they're going to have an ability to maybe go the whole way. But typically what you see is that it's a build to that, right? Like a team has a good 12-4 season like Buffalo, and then they get to like the AFC championship game or something, or divisional round, and they lose. And then they use that the next year to come back. So they haven't taken that secondary step before you get to that third Super Bowl-ish step. So, and I'm not saying that they can't, because some teams skip the second step, but I'm just saying that's one thing to consider. And we're getting way down the road here. Let's just see what happens next week, but it should be a fun game and a good measuring stick for both teams.
Obviously the scenario is a little bit different, but is this not almost the same position that the Chiefs were in back in 2018 when they went to Foxborough early in the season? So the Chiefs went to Foxborough on Sunday Night Football in week 7 of the NFL season. It was actually 2 years ago to the day. It was October 15th in 2018. That was the game, you remember, Mahomes threw his first pick six. That was the game in which the Patriots had the ball at the end. They scored the touchdown. The Patriots won 43-40. Wasn't he just describing where the Chiefs currently sit in the AFC and where Buffalo is trying to get? Weren't we looking at that the exact same way? Man, Mahomes, this young gun quarterback, we were still learning a whole lot about the established team in the New England Patriots. You were going in on Sunday Night Football. Everybody had that game circled, and the Chiefs were looking to try to prove something there. And I remember we were all patting the Chiefs on the back about it being a moral victory of how they hung toe-to-toe with the New England Patriots, and you knew that you were going to have to see them again in January. You did see them again in January. You lost that game, but there were certainly reasons to be optimistic about the future of the Kansas City Chiefs. Does that not sound like the exact same scenario on Monday, but just now in reverse, where the Chiefs are where the Patriots sat and the Bills are where Kansas City was a couple of years ago?
I certainly see the similarities, because Buffalo last year, what'd they go, 11-5, 12-4? They were a good football team. And now they got Josh Allen, who's in the MVP conversation, who don't look now, is putting up stats like Patrick Mahomes did the year he actually won the MVP. So, yeah, I certainly understand the comparisons. I guess the part that I would push back for Therese is, typically in sports, like historically, he's right. You don't just go from being bad to being great. You go from being bad to being okay to being good to then eventually being great and winning championships. But the Chiefs didn't do that, and Patrick Mahomes didn't do that. Yeah, they were really good during the entire Alex Smith regime. They've been really good since Andy Reid was the head coach. But when Pat got here, it took them 5 minutes, and they became great. They averaged 30-something points per game. He won the MVP. They got to the AFC Championship game, and they were the one seed. So most of the time he's right. And then, by the way, went on to win the Super Bowl the next year. Incremental steps in the NFL are the thing, but I wouldn't be that surprised if Buffalo takes a huge step this year and plays the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game or something like that. On the flip side, I wouldn't be that surprised if they only end up winning 11 games and get knocked out in the first round of the playoffs.
I think we all knew that Kansas City was going to have to climb over New England if that's where they ultimately wanted to go, which is the Super Bowl. But the obvious big difference in this is we all knew that the time was very quickly about to end for the New England Patriots. And maybe it didn't end in 2018, but it was certainly going to end in 2019 or 2020. Their reign was not going to last two or three more seasons, and you were in prime position to sort of take over the throne.
Yeah.
What do you do if you're Buffalo, if the team that's sitting on the throne has a 25-year-old quarterback who just got the largest contract in American sports? Like, you're going to have to climb over that Mahomes mountain, not just in 2020, in 2021, in 2022, in 2023. Like, that mountain is not going anywhere. We talk a lot about the rivalry that exists between the Chiefs and the Ravens, and I certainly do think that there is one. Let's see if one sort of pops up between the Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills. If Buffalo continues to play at this level and continues to win at a high level, is that a team that you have to see 7 of the next 11 years in the playoffs in order to go to multiple Super Bowls? We'll see if Buffalo can continue to play at that high level. I believe Kansas City will. Let's see if Josh Allen and the Bills can.
Yeah, that 25-year-old that's sitting on the throne that just won the Super Bowl and the MVP that you're talking about, that's why I keep saying it's going to be a problem for these young quarterbacks in the division. Like, as good as Drew Lock look last year, and as good as Justin Herbert's been so far this season, who cares? Who cares if they're really good to great if they can't get over that 25-year-old king that's in the division? Let's say that Justin Herbert next year overachieves and they go out there and win 11 games. Well, guess what? They're probably still a wild card, and they've definitely still only got the second-best quarterback in the division. But, bro, you could say the same thing about the whole AFC. Like, that Patrick Mahomes kid is going to be a problem for all these teams. Buffalo thinks they're close, right? Baltimore probably thinks they're close. New England, Tennessee. Let's actually see it, because I feel like every time that Pat has an opportunity to play in one of these big games versus one of his adversaries, whether it's Lamar Jackson or whoever it is, He plays big, and I bet he does again on Monday.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. We'll try to give you an update on the Le'Veon Bell situation. The last we heard, The Athletic was reporting that it was down between two teams, Kansas City and Miami. We'll try to get you an update coming up at the top of the hour. We'll also get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. But before we do that, let's get to my least favorite part of the show. We do this game where you're supposed to pick a winner. It's kind of stupid. It was really cool, like weeks 1, 2, and 3. And then...
what happened?
I don't know what happened.
What happened?
This is just a funny season, you know? Like, how can anybody know anything about this year in the NFL?
We don't even know what day these games are going to happen.
I know. I don't know how you can pick winners with all of this.
That's right.
One day, you're just sitting there, and you're sitting on top of the NFL mountain. The next day, your quarterback tests positive for the coronavirus, and Jared Stidham's coming in. I mean, how can we trust the validity of these games? So I would say that my loss in Survivor isn't even legit. It doesn't matter. It doesn't count, because this is a fake season. This is a hokey year.
Would you also say on the flip side of that my perfect 5-0 record doesn't count?
This is an asterisk season. That's what this is. This is an asterisk season. Anybody that wins this year in Survivor, it's not valid. It's not valid because the rules are all funny. It doesn't make any sense. That's what I think about Survivor.
So go on
and make your little puny picks owned by... or excuse me, the picks are brought to you by Own KC. Donate, get gear, rep KC. Check them out at ownkc.com. They're not puny, but go on and make your puny picks. Survivor stinks.
Listen to this, Caddy.
Can't believe we've ever played this game before.
He's so flustered. He's calling our sponsors puny. Unbelievable.
No, shout out to OwnKC. They gave me a shirt yesterday. Shout out to them.
That shirt's dope. I almost took that.
You can have it if you want it. I can get another shirt. I know the guys.
Can I really have it?
If you want it.
That Mount Rushmore shirt that's on your desk?
If you want the shirt, you can have the shirt.
I do. Thank you. I'm going to take, by the way, I'm a perfect 5-0, if I didn't just mention that. I'm going to take New England over Denver. It's a big line. I know Drew Locke is back, but guess who else is? Cam Newton. The game's being played in New England. Denver, if they lose, all of a sudden, they're a one-win football team, which is one more win than the Jets and the Giants, which still keeps you alive for that number one overall pick. And New England, coming off of a loss, kind of feel a loss and then a bye, kind of feel like this is a game that they need to win to stay in that, if not wild card conversation, perhaps Buffalo loses, still in the AFC East conversation. So I think New England wins this game very comfortably. Give me the Patriots over the Broncos.
Am I crazy in thinking that Bill Belichick somehow manipulated the coronavirus test in order for his team to get the game moved back so Cam could come back? Am I crazy in thinking that? If there's any team in the NFL that could do that, wouldn't it be the Pats that did it?
Well, yeah, but why wouldn't he have done that when they played the Chiefs versus when they played the Broncos?
He tried. Let's say that Gilmore tests positive on Monday. They don't play the game. He knew that Gilmore went to dinner with Cam Newton.
Oh, so you think the only problem from his perspective is that the test didn't come out, like the results didn't come out soon enough.
Yeah. I mean, if Gilmore had tested positive.
I would have been so pissed if that actually happened was some funny business and the Chiefs New England game didn't go down a couple of weeks ago. Oh, my goodness.
Somebody can't tell me that I'm wrong.
No,
I mean,
you're not
it's
wrong.
It's definitely a conspiracy theory, but nobody can tell me that it's inaccurate.
I mean, it's kind of like the Loch Ness Monster, though. Like, I'm 98% sure that you're wrong.
Can you tell me why Gilmore played in the game on Monday?
Because it's gross.
Because I'm just saying is, all right, let's say that you and I go out to get dinner. Let's say you and I go to the other place, and we're sitting there for an hour having a great time. Mm-hmm. And then the next day you tell me that you test positive for the coronavirus, I should not come to work. It's that simple. I shouldn't come to work until I 100% know I don't have it.
Of course, and you shouldn't come to work.
Do you know what Gilmore did?
He went to work
the next day. Went to work the next day and was spreading the Rona all around the Patriots.
A nasty
facility.
Pun.
Spreading the Rona all around. Cooties everywhere.
I'm going to filibuster my Survivor pick because our caller who won the Alex Gordon stuff asked me how many teams are in the NFL. So I'm mad at Carrington. So I'm going to take my sweet time making my Survivor pick because you spread this lie, this propaganda, this falsehood, this fake news across the city. People, for some reason, believe you.
Because it's true.
But
you
you're
think
gone.
There's 27
you're out.
Teams.
Goodbye. Shoo, be gone. You're not part of this contest anymore. I, like a phoenix, will rise from the ashes after my strike. And the people who ride or die with me, which is a large contingent, want me to be aggressive. They want me to be fun. I'm not going to be lazy and take the Colts over the Bengals or the Pats over the Broncos. No, those are coward picks.
Take your Lions over Jacksonville. Go ahead.
I am a champion. Champions make hard decisions, and that's why I am taking the Miami Dolphins this week is the Survivor pick. The Dolphins will win Ryan Fitzpatrick and Fitzmagic will reign. They may have Le'Veon Bell. We don't know. The Dolphins are my survivor pick this week.
Rob can come sit right next to me on that survivor bench.
Yeah, come on over.
Sit right next to me on that survivor bench.
They will not have Le'Veon Bell. Even if they sign Le'Veon Bell, he's not going to be in that
game. If they sign Le'Veon Bell, expect 100 because pettiness level's at 100 and they play the Jets.
Oh, he's playing.
Also,
I'm with you. He's playing.
Also, the Jets, he ain't playing. He's not playing.
I'm serious.
There's no way he can't play. It's Thursday. We're talking about a game that's taking place on Sunday. It's not. I literally don't think that it could happen that quick. Like, he's got to pass a physical and all that stuff. I don't think he can go down that quick.
I really think he's playing. If he signs with the Dolphins and you think he's missing out on the chance to play the Jets, oh, he's playing.
I mean, it's a 3 o'clock game, so he's got those extra couple of hours. The Jets, I feel like the bad teams aren't going to lose every single game. How many teams in the history of the NFL have lost every game? Just Rob's Lions, right?
That's twice.
The Bucks.
Oh, the Bucks did it, right.
Yeah, twice.
So it's happened twice. So at some point, you would think that even the bad teams, the Jets, the Giants, the Falcons, they're going to beat somebody. This feels like that somebody. Like Miami coming off of a big win on the road against San Francisco. Fitzmagic all of a sudden goes away. Like, if the Jets are going to win one or two games, wouldn't this be one or two games of the two games that they might win?
I'm betting against Joe Flacco.
That's not a bad, I mean, come on, let's be fair here. That's not a bad place to sit. That's not a bad place to sit betting against Joe Flacco. He stinks.
So does Miami. But do you?
Coming up, we'll get you the latest. The Athletic is reporting that Le'Veon Bell is down to two teams. The Miami Dolphins that already have the number 6 pick in the NFL draft and the Kansas City Chiefs, which are going to select between 28 and 32 in the NFL draft. Seems like a no-brainer to me. It's not for Le'Veon Bell.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.